Brothers and sisters, please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this afternoon is Luke chapter 23, verses 26 to 31. As they led him away, they seized Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and laid the cross on him to carry behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Look, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the women without children, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" This is the word of the Lord. Dear fellow redeemed, what is it that moves us to tears? What is it that just jerks sympathy right out of us? Generally, it's going to be something like tragedy and suffering. And it really doesn't take much. I mean, you could be watching TV. You could be watching television, and up pops that commercial that has the animals that have been abused, or the other one that has the children that are suffering, the ones that are starving, and you will be so moved to sympathy that you'll actually reach in your back pocket and you'll pull out your wallet to try to help. Well, today we are going to look at the greatest tragedy of all. The greatest tragedy that ever has been, the greatest miscarriage of justice, the one that was carried out on Jesus. As Jesus was led out of Jerusalem to be crucified for things he had not done. But tonight, we are going to learn that Jesus doesn't want your sympathy. He wants your repentance. Our text for, our text for this afternoon begins with Jesus being whisked away out of the public eye. He was arrested by the Jews in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he would stay out of the public eye at least until Good Friday, when his legal trial began. But the Jews did more than just question him that night. They actually condemned him to death. They condemned him to death for being who he was, the Savior, the Son of God. And Jesus confessed, "I am the Son of God. It is as you say." And he was condemned to death. The next day, the tragedy would continue in Pilate's court. Now, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. Pilate knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong, and he desperately wanted to set him free. So what's he try to do? He tries to pull sympathy out of the crowd. He has Jesus brutalized, whipped, beaten, scourged. You guys are all familiar with a scourge. It's like that cat of nine tails that has bone and metal in it. Had that used on him, and probably not just his back, but other parts of him as well. He was humiliated, mocked, spit on. And then Pilate brought him before the people. Didn't work. Instead, they screamed for his crucifixion. Pilate, in the end, would end up adding to this whole tragedy by condemning Jesus himself, condemning Jesus to death in order to avoid a riot in the city. Then Jesus was handed over to the soldiers, be taken out and crucified. Well, Jesus had already lost a lot of blood. As I said, he was scourged. He lost a lot of blood through that. I mean, not to be too graphic, but there's probably exposed bone at this point where the skin has just been removed. And he had nothing to eat. I mean, the crown of thorns had been pounded into his scalp, and nothing to eat, nothing to drink. He had not slept. He was weak. And he broke under the weight of the cross. So the Roman soldiers, I guess we could say they drafted this man, Simon of Cyrene, to carry Jesus' cross the rest of the way. And a crowd began to gather. Now you and I can sit here tonight and we can say, well, people wanted to watch this. You do the same thing. When you're driving down the highway and you see an accident and you got it, you twist your neck about as far as you can go to see what's going on while you slow way, way down. Just to see what's going on. People did the same thing as they were passing by. But you know the real tragic thing here? Jesus was exactly who he said he was. He was the King of the Jews. He was the Savior. He was what he was being accused of. It was just days before this that he was hailed as he came into Jerusalem. Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna to the Son of David! The Son of David, the King of the Jews. Yeah. Oh, this is something that even our modern day newscasters would grab hold of in a heartbeat. They would. Can't you just see the headlines? Innocent man brutalized and crucified by local officials. Film at 11. I'm not wrong, am I? It's enough to almost jerk sympathy out of you and me, isn't it? So why shouldn't we weep for Jesus? Why not? He was just like you. He was just like me. And if you beat him, he hurt. If you cut him, he bled. So why not weep for Jesus? Those are exactly the reasons you should not weep for Jesus, because he was just like you and me, only without sin. He was your substitute. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. I imagine most of you are familiar with that verse, but do you understand what it means? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. In other words, Jesus became everything God hated. And he crushed him for it. So that he would never crush you. He would never crush me. So that you might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is your substitute. He took your place and paid for the sins of the entire world in full. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. And through faith in Jesus, eternal life is yours. See, that's what this is all about. Lent. Folks, it would be easy, absolute piece of cake for me to pull sympathy out of you this afternoon. little brief description of what crucifixion was really like, a little brief description of what being flogged was really like, oh, it'd be a piece of cake. But that's not what this is about. That's not why Jesus did this. Jesus doesn't want your sympathy. He wants your repentance. Turn from sin and turn to Him, trusting in Him for forgiveness, so that you will be with Him in glory forever. He doesn't want your sympathy. He wants your repentance. So returning to our text, as Jesus is being led out of Jerusalem, he's walking past the women, and they see this tragedy unfolding in front of their very eyes, and they are weeping. They're weeping for Jesus. They could see what's going on, but they didn't get the significance. So Jesus says something that is absolutely confounding. If you think about it, it really doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." That's enough to make you want to scratch your head and go, huh? Jesus was the one who was wrongly accused. Jesus is the one who was being led out to be crucified. Jesus is the one who had been beaten to a pulp when he was innocent, and he wants me to weep for myself and for my children. He wanted these women to get the significance, to understand why this was happening. Some of these women were probably very, very familiar with human suffering. They probably, some of them, all too familiar. And all of these women had this in common. They were going to struggle through this life, and then they were going to be carried out by some strong men and buried. You know, we like to think that modern day, modern society, we like to think we're above all that, but we're not. Every single one of us is going to have to deal with death. So Jesus says, weep for yourselves. Think about why that is. Why death? And weep for your children. Now, for all of our young folks here today, I'm going to tell you something might be hard to believe. At one point, my hair was jet black. Black as midnight. And I also understood what it felt like to be bulletproof, invincible. Yeah. Give it time. Give it time. Your hair's might be the same color as mine. And you're going to have to deal with the issue of death. But there was something else that Jesus could see. He told these women, don't weep for me. He could see the fall of Jerusalem coming. And the fall of Jerusalem was coming because the people had rejected Jesus and rejected him as the Savior of the world. And that would be reason enough to weep. Because without Jesus, there's no salvation. You know, maybe we should shed a few tears of our own. Not for yourselves and not for your children, because you have faith in Jesus, but for those who do not. Because without faith in Jesus, there is no eternal life. There is no salvation. There's only death and damnation that waits. I'm going to give you another passage you're very familiar with. The wages of sin is death. It's an inescapable fact. Every single one of us. None of us is immune. Unless Jesus comes back first, we're all going to have to deal with it. The wages of sin is death. It would be easy to think it. The human situation is just hopeless. It's hopeless, pointless. What are we going to do? But it's not. Because our hope is in the cross. The very thing that Jesus was walking out to do, to die on the cross, that is where our hope is. Because there Jesus met God's justice and satisfied it in full. Sin had to be punished, and it was. Only God punished Jesus instead of you and me. That means you are forgiven. You guys, I want to make sure you all get that. All sin is paid for in full. You are forgiven. And that salvation is available for every man, woman, and child that has ever lived or ever will live on the face of this earth. When you have faith in Jesus, you get the benefit of that. You get eternal life, and salvation is yours. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus says, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Weep for those who don't have faith in Jesus. And then tell them. Folks, the season of Lent, we look at Jesus suffering. We look at what happened to him. We look at the reason why, and it's hard not to look in the mirror and go, oh man, it's my fault. But Jesus doesn't want your sympathy. What he wants is your repentance. Turning from our sin and turning to him and trusting in him for your forgiveness. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, God, Jesus, doesn't want your sympathy. He wants you. And all God's people say, Amen.